was Benjamin. He served with all of his heart. He worked in his church the last 75 years, as he loved his wife for 73. I had the honor of praying as Benjamin went to meet the Lord. By his bed I did pray. At the end, and the Lord took me to heaven. The moment I touched Benjamin, the Lord opened the portal into heaven. I saw the angels bow down to greet him as he met the one he served. Benjamin was a humble man. He did not seek fortune or fame. I could not pray, but we at this royal moment of time, I saw angels bow down to greet him as he met the one he served. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. I couldn't pray but weep at his royal moment of time. Now Benjamin is with the one he served. Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. I just had to play that song today because of what I'm about to talk to you about. But that is about my experience, a very true story of me being with this man that was 101. On his deathbed, you know, he was in a coma, but God taught me that even when they're in a coma, they can still hear you. They're very much alive in there. It's just that, you know, their body cannot react, but they're still listening. So anyways, this we was at church today, and we started going to this little local church here, and we're starting to like it and fall in love with the people and stuff. And there's a man that testified today and said that he had to put his wife in the nursing home. She's been very ill for 20 years, and he's, you know, in his late 70s, and he can't take care of her anymore. But he was telling everybody how they've lost everything they have because the nursing home has taken it all. And I could just feel, you know, the depthness of that. So I went to talk to him afterwards, and I told him, you know, that we pray for people all over this country that's going through a lot of stuff right now having to do with their elderly parents. And, you know, that I really felt, you know, what he was saying, that I could hear him. And he told me that, you know, they gave him, they split it in half. They're selling everything. They even want his $70,000 Cadillac. They want his car. He said, you can have it after I die. You know. But anyway, but it is all just material things. And then there was another couple, you know, that lost everything in this big ice storm we just had. And another family was flooded, and just a lot of stuff, you know, where ceilings caved in. And the ice storm was really traumatic here, you know, in Tennessee. And so a lot of people are, you know, real affected and everything. And, you know, we testified today that we have been really blessed, you know, that we feel like we have angels on this farm. And they protected our stuff, and how the trees, you know, looked like they were just set down, you know, right next to where it could have just plummeted, like our chicken coop and our office and the house and the barn, you know, and just really testifying, you know, to the goodness of God and everything. But I do want you guys to know out there that there's a lot of people out there right now as well that are complaining about their light bills. Here in our local county, you know, it has went up 3 or 4 times, you know, on the light bills, the electricity. So there's a lot of people screaming out, you know, hurting and stuff like that. So, I mean, it's very serious, you know, what is happening in our country right now. And so I just want to tell you guys that, you know, a lot of you that's been with us for years, you know better. You know, you have been trained and you see what is happening out there, and you're guarding the gates, you know. And because we see there's a lot of people normalizing cancer, normalizing all this stuff that we know is side effects, you know. But just how very blessed y'all are. You know, all of us as a community, you know, we've battled through many things in the past 6 years. Y'all know I have struggled with my faith here and there. You know, things just pile up on me and I have to say something. And I, you know, have to repent to God and stuff like that. But the thing is that we have been very blessed. I mean, our community here. And that we have been able to avoid a lot of disaster, you know, because we are paying attention. And, you know, thanking the Lord for not being in this delusion, you know. And but it's just so sad because other people are normalizing all of this stuff that we know is not normal. You know, so just be thankful that we're still of a sound mind. I mean, think about, you know, with us being as the remnant, how hard that is, you know. To be able to keep a good, sane mind when the whole world is just flipping and going crazy over there. You know, God has really kept our mind and And he's kept us through a lot. And the Lord really convicted me over today about complaining when you're suffering and complaining, you know, because that's what happened to the children of Israel. So we have to be very, and it's not easy to do, is it? You know, when you're suffering and you're hurting and you're feeling that sting, you know, you just want to, you know, let other people know how you feel because you're hurting, you know. But God really convicted me, you know, this is where we just have to praise him in the midst of the storm. We just have to, you know, learn how to do that. But us as a family, the whole point of me saying this is that we are a very, very blessed community. And I know I can speak for Pastor as well, that we are very blessed to be a part of you guys, you know, your stories and seeing the struggles that you have went through and how God has brought you through and the many different testimonies of God's goodness and, you know, just the favor of God is just such a blessing to be a part of all of you guys' lives. You know, I do want you guys to know that. Now, Dennis and I, we have our kids, grandkids this weekend, and we have absolutely had a blast. It has been so wonderful. So if you hear them opening the door and trying to talk to me, I've told them to sit over there and be quiet, but y'all know how that is. They're 7 and 13. So they're in the room next to me, and then the pastor's over in the house by himself. So we're not going to be able to open the lines afterwards. It would be a disaster. But we are going to preach, and then I will see you guys in the morning. But anyway, thank you guys for praying for us. The grandkids have been really wonderful. And my youngest one, he is Gianni, and he is very rambunctious. He's the one that I told you guys the story of the slow, slow shark. Remember that story? Well, this is him, the very funny kid. So we was at church today, and he had an A++ for the entire weekend. I mean, he's done so good. But in church, he started complaining. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. And I looked at him, and I said, if you say that one more time, I am giving you just a plus. I'm taking away one of your pluses. And he sat there, and he said it again. I said, all right, you're down to an A+. Boy, he zipped that lip. It was, y'all should have seen it. It was the funniest thing. So he gets in the van after church, you know, and he's like, can you tell me how I can get my plus back? Grandkids are so awesome, man. But anyway, so we have truly enjoyed them. We only get them about once a year, so we're very happy to have them this weekend. And I take them back tomorrow. I meet their mom at noon. Thank you guys as well for praying for Dennis. He is doing much better. He's not over the hump yet, but it's enough to where he's not in excruciating pain at night, you know. We still have not heard back from the doctor about the x-ray. Hopefully we'll hear back tomorrow. But, you know, at least he's able to walk around and do stuff now. So that, you know, just thank you guys so much for praying for him. You know, he's not used to being, I'm sure he'll tell you when he comes on here, but, you know, he's not used to slowing down. He's a very go-getter, fast-paced, you know, up at 6 o'clock and back in the house at 5, you know. He's a go-getter. And so this has really slowed him down, so it's really got to him. But the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, and it's really humbled him a lot, you know. So we're just really thankful for the Lord's healing and for the Lord taking him through this process and everything, you know. So I think that's all the news, per se, that I have for us as far as the ministry goes. All is well here, and the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. So, Pastor really does have a really good sermon for you guys today. And so I'm going to go ahead and just open him up and I'm going to pray for him. And then we will go ahead and hear what he has to say. Hello, Pastor. How are you, sir?
Oh, fair and partly cloudy.
Well, let me go ahead and pray for you and then you can have the floor.
Okay.
All right. Lord, we just thank you so much for our time together, Lord. Lord, we thank you for blessing Dennis with the word and the manna from heaven, God. I just pray that you anoint him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And I pray, Lord, that he will be able to articulate to the bride, Lord, what it is that you have given him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, sir. Wait. Hey, hold just a moment. Do you mind if I... Never mind. We'll do that next week. Okay, sir. You got the floor.
Alrighty, thank you.
And
as June was saying at the beginning, you know, we just really thank you all for your prayers and support and, you know, patience with, you know, changes and this and that, you know, that we go through and with you guys. And when she was saying that, some scriptures come up to me and that I always think about, you know, when I think about, you know, us and all of you out there, the bride, you know. And so I just want to read that Psalm 133, the joy of brotherhood, okay? And it goes, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious anointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And this is one of my favorite psalms when, you know, I think about, you know, all the people that we're connected with, and even though we've never even seen a lot of you guys, and you know, it's just through phone, internet, you know, stuff like that, but, you know, it brings us great joy that, you know, we're together, and like it says here, in unity, you know, and that we can dwell together, you know, in unity of the spirit, you know, in God's word. And so anyway, that's, a real blessing for us, you know, and, as you know, I guess I'm going to get into Psalm 32 and I'm titling this the blessedness of forgiveness, you know, so that blessedness, you know, you guys have blessed us greatly and we sure hope we can bless you too, you know. And but the biggest blessing of all is what we have, you know, in Christ, you know, the blessedness of forgiveness. And so I'm just going to get into this and we'll go start in Psalm 32. But just want to thank everybody for their blessings and support and all that. And I definitely am feeling much better. You know, I still got a little niche in the ribs every now and then, but as far as it's always, you know, bugging me, it's much better, put it that way. So I am very grateful for that, because I know ribs are slow to heal and I'm putting on it and trying to take care of it the best I can. So once again, thank you for your prayers. So we'll just start in Psalm 32. And once again, the psalm is about the blessedness of forgiveness. You know, what David is saying here. But when I was reading this, there was a couple of some words that really stuck out at me, and it's like, well, don't them words kind of mean the same? And so I had to look some of these words up and try and, you know, really ponder on them and get a grip to what they really mean and everything like that. And so I hope you guys bear with me when I read some definitions of a couple of these words. And in that first word, well, let's just read verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. And we just want to stop there. And that word transgression, you know, is forgiven. And so I had to look that word up, and I just want to share that what I've, you know, found on that, and how it relates to, I don't know, just my trying to grasp the real big picture meaning of, you know, these scriptures. But transgression is an act that goes against a law, a rule, or a code of conduct, you know, an offense. And one of the big words that really transgression is rebellion, the breaking of a law. And some scriptures, I'm not going to turn to these two, but Proverbs 17:11, Romans 4:15. But in Hebrew, it means mostly revolt, again, rebellion, Greek violation, you know, and sometimes used synonymously with sin, okay, but sometimes used in a distinct sense as indicating a violation of the law, okay, you know, all sin, okay. Okay, and this is still going along with that definition that I looked up. It said all sin is transgression, you know, is an act, you know, this act, this, you know, there's all kinds of different sins. So it's all sin. That act that you're doing is transgression. It's rebellion. But transgression is not sin in the sense of incurring guilt. You know, bringing this on oneself, this guilt, okay? And I was had to really ponder that, and I was looking around for, well, what's the scripture that kind of points to that, you know, that all sin is transgression? You know, it's an act that goes against, but not necessarily sin in the sense of, you know, bringing guilt on yourself for it. And I, the verse I come up with is in Proverbs 28. And so let's turn to Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 2. Give me a minute to turn there. And in, you know, Proverbs, you know, many of the different Proverbs are comparisons and warnings and instructions, okay? And in this chapter 28 is all about that. It's comparisons and warnings and instructions. But I want to go to verse 2, for there's that word, for the transgression of a land, many are the prices thereof, but by man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. You know, on, I just really had to look at this and, you know, try and find some other scriptures and whatever to grasp this, you know. And, you know, when a society, and this is what I'm coming up with, when a society, you know, like, you know, the transgression of a land or a nation or, you know, a society, whatever, abandons moral and divine laws. But, you know, again, there goes to rebellion or transgression. You know, it also suffers at a great price. And that's where you get this, you know, transgression of land. Many are the prices thereof. You know, so, you know, all kinds of sins or whatever, the consequences, you know, you're going to pay a price. And even as a society or as a nation, you know, it often suffers at a great price. But, there's that word, but, by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. So, you know, but, you know, by a single wise leader, a man, with discernment, you know, of good and evil and all that's going on in the land, he can bring peace and, you know, long-lasting stability to the land or nation or the community or even to the family. This is just coming to me now. I mean, you know, that's why we need to pray for understanding and wisdom. So as we, you know, train up our children or our friends or our family, whatever, you know, a community, whatever, you know. The historical context, this verse was demonstrated in Israel's history, where the northern kingdom's corruption led to many often assassinated kings, while the more stable, knowledgeable, wise southern kingdoms experienced longer, more consistent reign. You know, they didn't go through all the hardships and whatever. You know, this parable highlights the ethical, knowledgeable leadership creates enduring peace, while corruption, transgression, brings turmoil and constant change, you know, and chaos is a word that's just coming up. So, you know, this is a warning. Anyway, so, you know, all sin is transgression, but again, all transgression is not sin in the sense of incurring guilt, you know, bringing that guilt upon oneself. It's more of a broad, you know, like a national thing or community thing. But going beyond a set of, and here's another definition, I guess, I got on this word, going beyond a set limit law or moral principle. And then it said, the root of transgression. You know, I step across in the old French and Latin and Middle English, it meant the spirit of disobedience, spirit of rebellion, rooted in the first sin, Adam and Eve, and even amplified by figures like King Saul in 1 Samuel 15:23 and Absalom. It seemed as a deep-seated opposition to divine authority. You know, it's a mindset or it's a spiritual force that resists God's rule, choosing self-will over his own will, you know, not seeking God's will. You know, we may the will of the Lord be done. That's what we want in our lives, and not this, you know, spiritual force that's, you know, trying to guide us and lead us, you know, to resist the, you know, God's natural laws or, you know, his commandments. This this mindset or spiritual force resists God's rule, once again, choosing self-will. You know, when I was reading this and thinking about that, you know, it takes you back to where? To Genesis 3. And we don't have to turn there, but, you know, that was the fall of man. That was the root or the start of transgression, you know, the fall of man. And so, but let's turn to 1 John. You can keep your finger in here on in Psalm 32, because we're going to be going back there. But in 1 John, move that. First John, chapter 3, and starting with verse 4. And 1 John 3, this is describing what is sin. You know, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And who is this he? Is it the Lord Jesus? He come here to take away our sins. Because why? In him is no sin. Thank you, Lord. So, verse 6, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. You know, and that's why, you know, when we get this born-again spirit in us, and we are hopefully led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. But, you know, that's why we need to be in the Word, because it is Spirit, and it gets in us. And when the Holy Spirit gives us a nudge, it reminds us of the scriptures that we've read and pondered, and it brings up this unction in us that, hey, let's not go that way. That's the wide worldly path, you know, into unrighteousness, you might say. But, verse 7, little children, you know, and Father God, right now, we just thank you that we are the little children. Let's describe here, Lord. Let no man deceive you, Father God. We just thank you that no man will deceive us. Each one of us here, Lord, we just thank you for discernment. And it says, for he that doth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And who is the he? Christ. Christ Jesus, our righteous one. Amen. He that committeth, verse 8, sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning, going back to Genesis 3. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And can we say amen and hallelujah? Thank you, Lord. And, you know, it's impossible to deny the existence of sin. You know, even when the whole world is in a conflict between good and evil, and if you can't see that, you know, it's a sad state of affair, you might say. If sin were not a fact, there would be no crime. We would not need jails or prisons. We would need no locks on our doors or vaults for our valuables. You know, to some, sin is being indiscreet. Or is the weakness, of the flesh. To others, it is the absence from good. To the so-called scholar, and I'm reading, this is a footnote from the bottom of my Bible here, sin is ignorance. And to evolutionists, is the nature of the beast. The latest theory is that sin is a disease to be treated by science, because man is not a sinner, he is only sick. To others, sin is a form of selfishness. But God declares that, and here we go, sin is the transgression of the law. Verse 4 up here at the top. Sin is coming short of the glory of God. And reference to that, Romans 3:23. Sin is rebellion against God, Isaiah 1:2. Sin is unbelief. It makes God a liar, 1 John 5:10. Sin is going your own way, planning your life according to your own will, not the will of God, eh? Without seeking the will of God, you know, that's sin. Isaiah 53:6. You know, all unrighteousness is sin. 1 John 5:17. You know, sin is a folly to deceive you, a force to destroy you, and a fact to condemn you. Sin is a violational act of disobedience against the revealed will of God, you know, His Word. And once again, we could go on and on about sin, you know, about the new birth and all that, you know. There's a lot on that, but let me flip the page here on my notes and you know, again in Genesis 3, what? The woman said, the serpent beguiled me, the woman, you know, deceived, cheated. And, but that word beguiled, that's deceit, you know, craftiness, you know, he's sly, you know, and he deceived her. You know, sin in a creature which does not express or which is contrary to the holy character of the Creator. In Greek, it's a falling away from or missing the right path. And what does that remind you about? You know, there's two paths. There's the big, wide, worldly path, and there's that right, narrow, hard path. You know, it's sin is falling away from that right, you know, that narrow path. The unright, excuse me, I'm going to take a drink here, excuse me. The underlying idea of sin is that of the lawgiver once again. And the lawgiver is the Lord. Hence, sin is everything in the disposition, you know, or the, what do you say, the natural character or the arrangement, the order of things and purpose and conduct of God's moral creatures that is contrary to the expressed will of God. So, you know, sinfulness of sin lies in the fact that it is against God. You know, even when we do wrong, even when the wrong we do is to others or ourselves, you know, the sins of omission. And if you want to turn, I guess, I didn't know if I was going to turn there or not, but in Psalm 51, let's go back to Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, and I'm not going to read it all, but it's very powerful psalm because, again, it's a psalm of David. You know, when the Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone to Bathsheba, you know, when Nathan, hey, what are you doing here? And he confronted David about Bathsheba, and it brought David to, whoa, you know. And it really, you know, and what did he, I just want to read the first two verses here. Start with, it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. So what's he doing? He's confessing. He's confessing, you know, hey, I've transgressed against you. You know, according to your loving kindness, you know, and your tender mercies. I'm confessing my sins. Please blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly, verse 2, from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's repenting. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Boy, that reminds me when I first come to the Lord. And when I was convicted, and I was laying on the ground with my face down crying. And that's David. And then, let's jump down. And again, you know, here, well, let's just go down to verse 5. What do you say? Behold. There's that word, powerful word, behold.
Hey, Papa.
I can't talk right now.
Okay.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, going back to Genesis, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold. Again, really acknowledging, wow. Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. And we all need wisdom, don't we, in these times. And this is one of my favorite verses in Psalm 51. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And that word purge is a powerful word. It's to bring out, you know, all that sin and transgression and darkness and unrighteousness. The list is very long. Purge it. Bring it out of me. And I don't know if, you know, that word is spiritual and physical. Okay? You know, it's purging me physically and spiritually, how I see this. Purge means to bring things out. And hyssop is a very strong herb. Or if you buy it in like a pure essential oil, I'm going to give you an idea how strong it is. Years ago, when I was studying about essential oils, and the oil of hyssop, how it relates to this verse, purge me, it brings things out. So I thought, wow, hyssop has ability to purge you physically or spiritually, but physically it will bring things out. And at the time, and I shared this before, a long time back, when I was studying iridology, and I seen in my eyes that my lungs were congested. And my daughter, we lived in an old farmhouse with an old oil burning furnace. And you could see the black on the walls and stuff. You know, it's an old one. And living in there 10 years, breathing that stuff, it congested our lungs. I could see it. And so I thought, wow, I'm going to try some hyssop. And so on the bottom of my feet, right at the top, at the base of the middle toes, is your sinus. And right directly under your feet is the lung area. And so I start putting drops of hyssop, 2 or 3 drops right there. 2 or 3 drops on my daughter's feet, a couple on mine. And then I diluted it in like olive oil or, you know, Jehovah windows or oil. There's different oils you can use, coconut. And I would rub it all over my chest, in my lung area. And on little girls, I didn't put it on her chest. I put it on her back. And after about a week and a half, I started coughing up all this phlegm because of hyssop. It was purging. It was bringing all that phlegm and you know, stuff that was in my lungs and sinuses out. And at the time, I was doing construction, working on roofs. And I'm up on this roof, and it was wintertime, spitting out these big loogies, and, you know, and it was purging me. And my daughter, I think she was in kindergarten, and then it started doing to her. And so I had to teach her, you know, to spit it out. Don't swallow that. You know, she would cough up, and you could tell it was this phlegm, you know, these loogies or whatever, you know. Spit it out, you know, don't swallow it. And so she was spitting and she had this little cough. Well, the teacher, the nurse from the school calls and says, hey, you know, your daughter's sick. You know, you need to take her to the doctor or whatever. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. And, you know, I just kind of whatever. And a couple of days later, here she calls again, you know, threatening me that if I don't do something and take my daughter to the doctor, she's going to, you know, report me. And so, you know, I took my books and my notes about hyssop and I tried to explain to her how hyssop purges. It brings things out. You know, and then I told her I'll stop, you know, doing it. And it took, you know, probably a week and slowly she stopped, you know, coughing that phlegm up. Well, me, I just continued it for about a month and just purged my lungs and got that, you know, corruption out. And that's physical. Well, here he's saying, purge me with a hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. You know, he was saying, purge me of all my sin, you know, that he did, you know. You know, the being and the law of God are perfectly, you know, harmonious. God is love. The sum of all commandments, likewise, is love. Sin, thus, in its natural or egotistic selfishness, you know, self is put in the place of God. Romans 15:3, 1 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 and 4. Selfishness is at the bottom of disobedience. And it becomes hostility to God when it comes into collision with his law. Okay? You know, again, there's so much more about sin and how different religions or groups of people, you know, different churches may view this topic, okay? You know, what I have, you know, what I hear is enough. I believe to put sin into perspective or correctly regard in terms of relative importance, okay? In essence, of sin is living independently from God. The solution to the problem of sin is found in Christ. The redemption provided by him, Romans 3:27, Romans 8:39, and there's many other scriptures. Amen. That's why Jesus come to here, to the earth. So let's go back to Psalm 32. Blessed, verse 2, blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile, there's no deceit. You know, God's, you know, there's no deceit in him. He imputeth not iniquity. He didn't charge us. He didn't credit the sin to us. He didn't assign it to us, you know. because there's none in him. You know, Genesis 4:13, well, that word iniquity, you know, punishment, unrighteousness, you know, guilt, you know, contracted by sinning, Exodus 25. So, anyway, let's go to verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Wow. David is, I mean, he's down now. Describes, you know, the severe physical and emotional toil of his unconfessed sin. You know, he's like, well, you know, when Nathan, you know, approached him, you know, and can put this on him, you know, hey, man, you're, what you did with Bathsheba, I mean, whoa, it really hit him hard. David likely, you know, once again, referring to the time of his sin with Bathsheba, realizing that ignoring or concealing transgression caused a crushing weight of guilt. Can anybody here say amen to that when they've had that crushing weight come upon you because of some transgression? You know, that weight, that crushing weight upon you? I know I have. That phrase, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. You know, that indicates, you know, a very emotional guilt. You know, if it was left unconfessed, you know, it'll come harder on you. You know, and it can what? It can manifest as physical and spiritual sickness. So, you know, we have to look at things, always have to look at them physical and spiritual. And why is that? Because we are physical and spiritual beings. Amen. So we always have to, you know, that's why, you know, there again, when I was reading that, purge me with hyssop, you know, it's physical and it's spiritual. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was a heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. You know, the acknowledged sin, confession of, serves to show the blessings of forgiveness. You know, mentioned earlier up here in 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. You know, that highlights the true relief, you know, physical, spiritual, that only comes from the heart, you know, acknowledging, you know, just sin, you know, when sin is confessed. Amen. And then there's that word, or, you know, when I'm writing this, I'm thinking, wow. While writing this and pondering, and this is a note here, I got pondering this verse in Romans 1 come up in my spirit. You know, this unconfessed sin, and how we said it's physical and spiritual. But let's turn, keep your finger on the Psalm 32, but let's turn to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, and starting with verse 17, and I'm not going to read this all, but the rest of the chapter is about the guilt of mankind, okay? And but I want the verse that come up to me is verse 25. Well, actually, let's start at verse 25, but the verse really is 28. Let's start from who changed the truth of God, verse 25, into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause gave them up to vile affections. For even their woman did not change their natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the air which was met. And here, verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, or should I say against the will of God, you know, unconfessed sin, and you get this unction from the Holy Spirit to repent, to turn away, but no, you just continue in your own sin. And he says what? They didn't acknowledge God. They didn't acknowledge his word. And you know, they're just my will, not God's will. And he gives them over to a reprobate mind. And that's like they didn't even know, they couldn't comprehend truth no more. And I've been to this verse many times. I've shared with this verse with you many times. When I first read it, I was like, whoa. You don't even have the understanding of truth. People can, you know, and we can see this all over the board today. You approach somebody and you try and share stuff with them and they reject it over. Nah, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. Well, here God's saying, and I give you over. You don't even have a clue anymore what real truth is. Is that not sad? God will give you over to a reprobate mind. That is sad. Amen. So, anyway, then what's the next? At the bottom of verse 4, it says, Selah. And that word, you know, it's a small word, but to me, it's a brief pause. That it, you know, what I want to do is, I've got this little devotion here that I've had for years. Tuesday, February 9th. I mean, what is today? No, today's not the 9th. Boy, we're close to it. Anyway, and I've always had this in my Bible, and here's the verse, Psalm 3:2. Many there be which say of my soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions, there is no help for him in God. Selah. You know, that word occurs 74 times in the Bible, three which are in the prophetic Psalm of Habakkuk, with others 71 with others here in Psalm 3, verse 2, and also occurs at the end of verse 4 and 8, thus in effect dividing Psalm 3 into three stanzas. However, its exact meaning is uncertain. Most authorities think it is some kind of musical notation to be applied when the psalm was being sung with accompanying musical instrumentation. So it's kind of a pause between the singing and then they play some music. It's a time for reflection, you might say. It suggests a pause of some kind, okay? Where the singers were silent before proceeding on to the next portion, you know, of the song. When the psalm is merely being read, however, it must often be the case. This explanation would be pointless. Thus, some think it indicates a brief pause of reflection on truth. just revealed before the proceeding, you know, going on to the next verse. So you might say it means, hey, think of that, ponder that, what was just said. And what was just said, for day and night the hand was heavy upon me. My moisture has turned into the drought of the summer. I mean, he was just, you know, he was in distress in his mind, you might say. Wow, what have I done? You know, he's reflecting on prayer. Amen. So I just want to, Lord God, as we study, ponder, and have a time of reflection of truth, your word is spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Lord God, I pray that sin, sickness, disease, calamity, all the fiery darts of the devil are void from operating against us. In Jesus' name, amen. And when I was doing this here, I thought about a prayer. And it comes from one of my prayer books that I've had for many years. And so I want to read this prayer. And this prayer is titled, To Be God Inside Minded. You know, because these things that are coming against our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions, you know, like David, in his distress, you know, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be God inside minded. Okay. So I just want to read this prayer over us. You know, it says, I am a spirit. And I'm going to read this in more trying to, for all of us. We have a spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a physical body. My spirit is the candle of the Lord. God, my Heavenly Father, is guiding each one of us. And there, put your name into the all the truth through my spirit. Each one of us is a child of God, born with the Spirit of God and filled with the Spirit of God and led by the Spirit of God. We listen to our hearts. As we look to our spirits inside us, the Holy Spirit gives direction to our spirits and illumination to our mind. You know, lights it up by the light of truth, God's Word. He leads each one of us in the ways that we should go in all affairs of life. He leads us by an inward witness. The eyes of our understanding are being enlightened. Hallelujah. Wisdom is in our inward parts. Love is perfected in each one of us. Amen. Woo. And we have an unction from the Holy One. We are becoming spirit conscious. We listen to the voice of our spirits and obey what our spirit tells us. I let my spirit dominate me. For we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We examine are leading in the light of His Word. We trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and we lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we acknowledge You, Lord, and You direct our paths. For we walk in the light of God's Word. For Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our paths. We will educate and train and develop our human spirits. The word of God shall not depart out of my mouth. I meditate therein day and night. Therefore, we shall make our way prosperous and will have good success in life. For we are a doer of the word, and we will put God's word first. Our spirit man is in the ascendancy, controlling influence. Amen. So thanks be to God who always causes each one of us hearing this prayer, this message today, to triumph in Christ Jesus. Amen. Whew. I love that verse, that prayer. And that prayer comes with, you know, all the scriptures that relate to this prayer. And I've got all kinds of footnotes around it. I'll maybe see if I can post this in band. And that way you can read this on your own and look up the scriptures and to be God inside minded. Amen. Let's turn back to Psalm 32. Verse 6, I guess. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. So what should everyone that is godly pray? Go back to verse 5. As we confess our transgressions unto the Lord, he forgave the iniquity of our sins. Pray for the Lord's forgiveness of our sin while he can be found. Before the floods of great waters come and overtake you. Think about that. Pray for the forgiveness of our sins while he can be found, before the floods of great waters come over you, overtake you. You know, to me, it implies a reasonable time for repentance and reconciliation. You know, suggesting that one should not delay in turning to God for forgiveness. You know, before the floods of great waters overtake you. You know, these great waters just may represent what? Significant life pressures, troubles, catastrophic events. You know, some may be going through, you know, let's say, like we talked about last week, a dark valley in life right now. Or as we see prophetic events happening right before us and know it's going to get much worse. And though these events happen, one must put what? Our trust in God. Also, if one is living in sin, transgression against the holy God, then I believe it is even more paramount that of confession, repentance, and reconciliation. Amen. For thou art my hiding place, you know, the Lord. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me with the songs of deliverance. Selah. So let's just take a minute here and think, you know, to reflect on what he's saying here. Thou art my hiding place. You know, as we trust in God and we put everything, all our burdens, all our troubles, you know, he will preserve us from trouble. He shall compass me about with songs of deliverance. Amen. Like David, he confessed, he acknowledged, he repented. Wow. Thank you, Father God, for your Son Jesus, who delivers us from unrighteousness. Amen. Verse 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I shall guide thee with my eyes. In what? He will instruct instruct each of us and teach each of us in the way. And sometime back, I did a whole message on that. In the way, or I should say, the way. You know? And there's, if you do a study on that, there's many scriptures that say, I will guide thee with, you know, or in the way. Deuteronomy 5, 33, Isaiah 43, Psalm 27, 11, Matthew 3, 3, John 14, 6, Acts 8, 39, 1 John 2, 27. There's a lot of scriptures about the way, and it's the way that the Lord, you know, his commandments, his way. And then it says, I will guide thee with my eye. You know, I will guide thee with my eye. You know, and Psalm 33. Let's just go over to that next Psalm, verses 18. Behold, you know, and this is, this Psalm 33 is about praise to the Lord for. It's a really cool, all these Psalms. I just, it's hard just to pick out a couple of verses out of a Psalm. You just want to read the whole thing, you know. But verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Whew. Amen. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Amen. Amen, huh? And, and this, when I was reading this, you know, I will guide thee with thy eye. You know, the Lord sees all. His infinite presence, you know, his omnipresence. And I was thinking about that. And I want to flip over here to, you know, his omnipresence. You know, that's an attribute of God alone, by which is meant that God is free from the laws, our limitations of space. You know, he sees, he knows all. He's, you know, Psalm 39:7-10, Jeremiah 23:23, and verse 24, Hebrews 1:3. Acts 17:28, it is essential to the right conception of God in this respect, that we avoid all materialistic notions of his presence, which confuse God with everything and thus leading to pantheism. You know, God is a spirit, and his infinite presence is to be regarded in the dynamical sense, rather than in the sense of a substance infinitely extended. You know, it's you know, he's regarded as, you know, an energy or a force in motion. He is distinct from all works, while his power and intelligence and goodness embrace and penetrate them all. The ubiquity of God is also to be regarded as compatible with various manifestations of his presence according to the spheres of life in which he is. Thus, in the more exalted sense, he is our Father in heaven. Matthew 6:9. You know, it's saying, you know, that he is everywhere at all time. You know, he's He is everywhere all at once. He's omnipresence. He's, you know, the eye of the Lord is upon us. Amen. I guess that's I'm going to just try and bring this to an end. Let's read the next couple of verses. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be led in with a bit and a bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Amen. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. And, you know, this is the blessedness of forgiveness. You know, David contrasts the blessings of forgiveness experience once again with the anguish of refusing sin, confessing sin. You know, out of his own experience, he shares advice, you know, verse 6 and 7. He conveys that the promise that God will guide the forgiven and surrender the person and surround the person who trusts in him with unfailing love. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your love. You know, we just thank you with all our hearts, Lord, that you counsel us, Lord. You know, do you have a fixed purpose for each one of us and leading us to the choices which you know, Lord, are best for each one of us? You know, so thank you for this fellowship that we have with you, Lord. For you alone can only instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go. And I'm not going to go there right now, but just write down, let me just turn to it quick here. Psalm 69. Whoops, turned too far there. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, and this once again is David. Okay, and I just want to read the first two verses here. Save me, O God, for the waters are come into my soul. These waters, you know, the whatever it might be that's heavy on us, that's coming against us. They are come into my soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions are being, you know, just about something. You know, each one of us has something we may be going through. And again, the list is long, is it not? I sink, verse 2, I sink in the deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into the deep waters where the floods overflow me. And sometimes, you know, all the prayer needs of people that we know, you know, the messages we get, the phone calls we get, the text messaging, the letters, you know, sometimes they just, you know, overwhelm us of what people are going through, the things that are coming against them, whatever it might be. You know, the floods overflow us. Verse 3, I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. This is a cry of David's distress. I mean, it's just, I mean, you read this psalm and wow, you know. And let's just go down to verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Remember, we were saying, his word was saying, come to him while there's time, while you're able to find the Lord. Is that not what he's saying here? For as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time, before the floods of waters overtake you and lead you and guide you down this other path, you know. No, get up, praise the Lord, confess your sins, repent, whatever. Deliver out of the mire that let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. You know, what's it saying? Let me be delivered from them that hate me. And sometimes we need, you know, we have people that come against us. And we know very clearly the word says that in the latter times, you know, even our family, our brothers, our sisters, our moms, our dads will come against us. And we are seeing that. And I'm sure many of you can attest to that, because we know we get phone calls and, you know, through the texts and chat room, you know, we're hearing this. And even in my own personal life, this is happening. Let not the water, verse 15, overflow me, neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Woo. Let not the pit, you know, don't fall down way into that pit. Maybe it's, you know, the pit of hell. But anyway, there's a reference to that in Numbers 16:33, and I'm not going to go there. I don't think. Yeah, let's not go there anymore today. But anyway, I'll end it here, Lord. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for that as we come to you, Lord, as we acknowledge our iniquity, our shortcomings, you know, your blessings of forgiveness, Lord. We just give you all the honor and the glory right now, Lord. We praise you and we lift up your name on high. For you alone are our deliverer. You deliver us from the darkness that's all around us, Lord. We thank you for the light of your word. Because your word is spirit. And once again, 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we thank you, Father, that we can be set free as we come to you and we acknowledge all this chaos around us, you know, and sickness and disease and calamity and chaos and everything, Lord. We just come to you and we just trust you alone, Father God. We just thank you for deliverance from the darkness. And be drawn into the glorious light, the light of your joy, Lord. Your word says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So, Father, I just pray that you would give each person here today strength, Lord, to shine upon them and lift them up in joy, Lord, knowing the end, looking to eternity with you, Lord. Hallelujah. That you're just acknowledging you, Lord, and acknowledging all this distraction and chaos around us, Lord, ain't nothing. Nothing compared to eternity with you, Lord, and to be in your glorious light. So we just thank you, Father. We give you all the glory and honor, Lord, for deliverance, to be set free. And strength to carry on, like last week, to be soldiers of the cross. So we just praise you, Lord. and give you the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father. Amen and amen. And I thank everybody for being here. And I hope this all made sense. And, you know, the blessedness of forgiveness as we come to the Lord and you know, just give it all to Him. Because we can't give it to nobody else. Amen. Amen.
Yes, thank you so much, Pastor, for the awesome sermon today. I took really good notes, Brad, so I've got it all up on the website for you to be able to reference and to go in there and, you know, to be able to dig more if you want to. You know, Pastor, I think about what the Bible talks about in the end of days, you know, which is one of my callings, basically, is the end of times. So when you're talking, I always think about this agenda and stuff. And, you know, one of the warnings that Jesus gave us was not only to, you know, to really watch deception, but it's also the heart of the Christian in that hour, because it's so easy for us to be offended. Right. You know, and especially today, I was thinking about this in church about something he is preaching, but I was thinking about, you know, the way that we have a president that is just so vile. I mean, he just constantly slices and dices with that tongue, you know, cuts people, hurts people, hurts the image of God in so many ways, you know.
Mocks and him.
Yeah, there you go. Mocks
the
his
mockery of it all. And not just to him.
Right. But how, you know, people have become so desensitized by it, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's because that's how come you see them turning into angry birds. You know, the ones that I call angry birds, is because they keep getting so offended, especially with all the, you know, the Q stuff and all this other. It's all built to bring this anger and wrath in their heart so that they would be taken out in the end. It's really sad. It really is. So, yes, the blessedness of forgiveness. I know today at church, you know, I was really repenting. You know, we had the whole service was worship, wasn't it, Pastor?
Yes, it was.
The whole service, the Lord just took over, and I needed it. I needed it. Y'all know, I needed it, a good, fresh dose of the Holy Ghost, you know. And so definitely, it's such a blessing that we have a God that we can go to and ask to forgive us. When we get off kilter and get off the track a little bit, you know, when we keep our heart in a posture of humbleness and asking Him to forgive us, you know, in other words, we stay accountable. We may get off track a little bit and we may, you know, whatever it is. But He always makes our crooked path straight.
Amen.
I mean, what a great God that is.
That reminds me of, I don't know, if it's Jacob's ladder or, you know, we're on that path. We're going up that ladder. But yet sometimes we fall, you know, we come short and we, you know, fall down a couple of steps of that ladder.
Yeah.
But, you know, we repent and we confess and, you know, we step back up on that ladder and we keep going up.
Yes. Because there's nobody perfect. No,
right.
Not one. You know, we need that forgiveness. We need that grace of God, you know, to Help us to be able to overcome unto the end. It's not how you began, it's how you ended, you know. So anyways, thank you so much, Pastor. That was an awesome sermon. So all of the scriptures and notes and everything are up on the website now. So if you feel like that is you, and you really need to forgive some people, let's just deal with that right now and just nip that in the bud, you know, so that you can get that burden lifted off of you. Lord, we just come before you right now. We thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you are the burden lifter. You are the burden lifter, Lord.
Amen.
And we just pray for all of the bride out there that have those heavy burdens of sin, or where they've got off track, or where they have allowed bitterness to come in, or something that has kind of taken them off the rail a little bit, Lord. We thank you right now that you're putting the track back together, and you're putting this train back together to get back on track and to go forward, Lord, into our heavenly home, which is our glorious hope. So, Lord, we thank you for your blessed forgiveness.
Praise you. We humbly
ask you to forgive us, Lord, for all of our transgressions, like Pastor preached about, all of our sins that he preached about today, all of the iniquities, Lord. We just commit it all to you, God, and ask that you make our crooked paths straight today. You are so worthy to be praised, Lord. There is none like you. You're worthy to be praised no matter of us, no matter of our lives. You're always worthy to be praised.
Yes.
We worship and praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for healing Pastor. We thank you for that, God, and we're together in agreement that you heal him, Lord. Lord, we thank you that moving in all of these houses that are represented in this ministry, Lord, that you would move in there in their relationships, Lord, healing relationships, healing maybe bitterness has happened there and has brought division in their home, Lord. We just come in agreement right now in the mighty name of Jesus for restoration, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Restoration and healing, Lord. We thank you for your mercy flowing in every home, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for your grace pouring over their homes, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for giving them the grace to finish their race, Lord. Oh, how we worship and praise you. Lord, we thank you for the blood of Jesus over our homes today and over our loved ones today. And Pastor and I, we plead the blood of Jesus over everyone connected in this ministry right now.
Yes.
We just thank you, Lord, for covering them in the blood, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for protecting them from the enemy, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the angels being around them, Lord.
Yes.
And protecting them, Lord, and holding them so that their foot not be dashed against the stone, Lord.
That's right, God.
Thank you, God, that they are not alone, that they have you, Lord. Thank you for keeping their eyes open so that they are not caught by the traps of the enemy in this end time hour, Lord. Thank you that you have brought all of us together as a community, Lord. We thank you for your protection, Lord. We thank you that you are the God that we choose to serve. We're choosing this day who we will serve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.